Let's take our Bibles to 1 Peter again, and we're starting chapter 2 now. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at the first three verses tonight together. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." God will bless His Word. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us through His Word. Father, we're so thankful for a copy of the Scriptures tonight. But we pray it would not just be in our hands, but it be in our hearts. And I pray You'd accomplish Your work, Spirit of God, that You want to bring to fruition in each of our lives. May we be yielded to Thee. Help us to receive this Word with meekness tonight. And God, give us the courage to lay aside what we need to lay aside. And give us a greater appetite for the things of God. And Lord, whatever You do in our service tonight, we'll give You glory and honor and praise and credit for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside." You know, we just preached this morning about the wonder of the new birth from the previous three verses. It's great to be born again. It is wonderful to have the Word of the Lord that liveth and abideth forever and endures forever. What a blessing it is. But you know, still in the Christian life, I have some obligations. It's always that way through the Bible. I see things that only God can do, and I see things that are my obligation to do. And as we saw this morning, nothing our flesh can do can accomplish anything in the sight of God. It's just grass. And God has to do the saving, and the Spirit of God has to bring life into us. But He starts chapter 2 with our responsibility to lay aside some things. And He mentions five things I call your attention to and our hearts to tonight. And these are things that every one of us as born-again people can have a problem with. If it was not, it wouldn't be here. He just said you're born again, and then He says, uh-oh. Problem. And what I understand is we're going through 1 Peter and we understand the things that happened in the early century with these believers that Peter's writing to, strangers that are scattered abroad, and the sufferings of the early church and the persecution that was very real in their lives when this was written. I just think in my mind that as we go through the journey of life, and when things don't go the way we thought they should go, or when things don't go the way we would like for them to go, then there is a temptation of great sin to come in our hearts because, you know, we're disappointed, we're discouraged, we're heartbroken, or we're hurting, or whatever it is. And if we're not careful, the wrong things can come into our heart. Now, these five things He tells us to lay aside are sins. But they're not sins of the body. You know, as a preacher, it's my obligation to preach the whole Word of God. And when I do that, you know, you got to preach on sin. And I just preach where it hit. Now, you know, a lot of people love it when you preach on sins of the flesh. Not very often today, but... But there are some people that, yeah, sick 'em preacher, you know, preach on that drinking and smoking and fornicating and... And yet, there are a whole nother group of sins. And it's my obligation, if I'm born again, to live like a child of God should live, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And just because I'm not in prison, or just because I didn't do anything outwardly illegal, or just because I didn't have an abortion, or I don't have some other problem or some wicked thing that I've done in my life, doesn't mean that there's not great wickedness in my heart. Matter of fact, you know, of these five things, At least three of them are mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Just go there, I'll show it to you. You know, Romans chapter 1, if I had to say it, I would say would be the depth of depravity of a human being. Because it shows a progression of how it started with an unthankful heart and worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And it started with someone not recognizing and appreciating the Godhead and thinking they're so smart about it. And then it descended into sodomy. It descended into homosexuality, right? And the Bible said that God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Is that what it says? Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And I'm not even going to read the verse 27, about women wanting women and men wanting men. Of course, we're past that now. I didn't even think I could ever say past that. We've got men wanting to be women and women wanting to be men. And we have a really mixed up society. I really think that this shows the depth of depravity that a human being can go. They can get so far away from God that they are so reprobate that they are potentially able to do anything. You understand what I'm saying? But in this list, drop down here to verse 29. He says these reprobates here, 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. What's the next word? Now, that's one of those words in our text tonight that we're supposed to lay aside. Full of, what's the next word? That's another one of those words in our text that I'm supposed to lay aside. Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and then he says, whisperers. Now, in Peter, he talks about evil speakings. So in a way, he's showing us a little bit of a third thing, using your mouth to say things you shouldn't be saying. Verse 30, backbiters. Usually people use their mouth to do that. They bite you back, you know. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. That's a form of evil speaking. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, this is what I want to say right there. Now, Romans chapter 1 is a list of what someone that is a reprobate is filled with. Now, here's the sad thing. You can be straight as an arrow. You can be born again and have the same characteristics in your life that's in a reprobate, according to what I just read. Did you hear what I said? The reprobate is filled with maliciousness. The reprobate is filled with envy. And the reprobate is filled with all types of evil speakings. And what Peter says is, if you're born again, you need to be careful because that might get on you. And you need to get it off. You need to lay it aside. And if we're not very careful, what will happen is we'll look at other people, we'll look at reprobates, or we'll look at somebody else and say, thank God I don't have the problems they have. And we can have other problems creeping in our heart that are just as serious as they're going to be a deterrent in my heart and my life for God, you see. And I've got to lay that aside. I've got to get rid of that. And usually, the reason that there's a list of five in 1 Peter chapter 2 is because many times these characteristics come together. They come in pairs. In other words, somebody that's got a problem with maliciousness usually also has a problem with envy. It's not usually one thing that I'm fighting. It's one thing that's gone to seed in my life that's causing me a lot of other issues in my heart. Look at Titus chapter 3. You'll see that. Titus chapter, they're coupled together a lot of times. So if you're not careful, what will happen is if you let one thing go in your heart, another thing will get on your heart. If you don't lay aside this wrong attitude, this sin of the heart, not of the body, if you don't lay aside this sin of the heart, another sin of the heart will enter in. You just make it a fertile ground for the problem. Titus chapter 3, the Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, well, go up to verse 2, to speak evil of no man. That's sort of hard, isn't it? Because I know a lot of evil people. He said to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Watch this now. For we ourselves also were sometimes. I like the word sometimes. This is what, before I was saved, this is what I was. I was foolish, I was disobedient, I was deceived. I served divers lusts and pleasures. Watch this now. And watch the way it says it. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. Now, it's one thing to live in something. It's another thing for it to get on you. The Bible said before I got saved, I lived in malice. You know why? Because the kindness and love of God had not appeared in my life. Because the love of God hadn't been shed abroad in my heart. That's the only place I could live. Like Brother Roloff sung, you know, the house on Hallelujah Street. That's where I live now, but that's not where I used to live. I used to live in envy. I used to live in malice. I used to live in sin. And that was some time ago. But if I'm not careful, while I'm living my born-again life, those things will creep up on me like a bad garment. And I'm not living in them, but they get on me. Anything ever get on you? Get on you like a bad habit? And I mean, bang. And God says, you better get that off. You better get that off your heart. You better lay that aside out of your heart. And this is the truth, brethren. Nobody can do that for you. If you've got one of these sins in your heart, I can't get it off. Your wife can't get it out. Your husband can't get it out. Your children can't get it out. The deacons can't get it out. Nobody. You have to say, I want to get this out of my heart. And the bad thing is, you know, when we walk into church, we don't have a banner that says, envy. It's not a glowing sign on our forehead. We can go through church and go through our Christian lives acting like everything's all right, and still there's malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking in my life. I thought you said these are sins of the heart. Evil speaking is out of your mouth. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Evil speaking only comes out of an evil heart. Something wrong with my heart when I don't speak right. So we need to get this stuff off of us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's take them one at a time. Malice. What is malice? Well, you could call it ill will. You could call malice bad feelings in your heart toward other people. Malice, if not taken care of, usually leads to bitterness. Malice is the opposite of love. We just preached that in chapter 1, verse 22. He talks about us loving the brethren with a pure heart fervently. We ought to love each other. Well, if you've got malice on you, you just have a hard time loving anybody. Something's broke on the inside. You know what Sam Jones used to preach back in whenever it was, the 1800s, traveling around this country? He traveled around this country and preached. He used to preach a message. It was a simple message. You know what it's called? He preached a message called, Quit Your Meanness. That's what he preached. What are you mad about? Life's too short for you to go around living in malice or having malice in your heart or having ill will and bad feelings toward everybody. Why don't you get over that so you can live a good Christian life? You see? You say, well, you don't know who wrong me. It don't matter. Just let it go. Amen. I'm not talking about the Disney song. I'm talking about the sin. Amen. Let it go. Get rid of it. It's going to hurt you. Don't have malice in your heart. Lay aside. And when you get persecuted, it's easy to get malice in your heart. And when things don't go your way, it's easy to get malice in your heart. And when you get mistreated, it's easy to have malice in your heart. And Peter said, don't let that happen. Lay it aside. Get it out. Lay it on the altar. Take it to the Lord. Confess it as a sin it is. You know, you're born again. You went out and got drunk tonight. I hope by the time you got home, you'd feel like such a dirty dog. Amen. Yeah. Right? Amen. But if you go out of this church tonight with ill feelings or ill will in your heart or bad feelings towards somebody else, hey, man, I hope you go home like a dirty dog and lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, God, I need to get this out of my life. Amen. I want to quit my meanness. Because your kindness and love has appeared in my life. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, I'm trying to read here. He said in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, watch it now, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He's going to talk about sincerity over there in 1 Peter in just a minute about that sincere milk of the Word. And he's talking about you need to be sincere. And don't you have malice in your heart while you're trying to keep the feast with your brethren. Purge it out. Lay it aside. Get it out. You know what happened in Corinthians? God started killing some of these people when they came together at the feast in chapter 11. When they came together and they took of the Lord's table and they communed one with another, they started dropping dead. And they started dropping dead for a lot of different reasons, but they dropped dead because they would not judge themselves. And one of the things they needed to judge in themselves was the leaven of malice that was in their heart. They needed to purge it out because they're supposed to take the unleavened bread and they're supposed to be unleavened and the sin out. Lord, I'm not just glad that I'm not living like a reprobate. I don't want what's in there that they're filled with in my heart. Those people are the most hateful people on the face of God's earth. Reprobate people, they hate Christianity, they hate you, they hate the Bible, and all these people that talk about being tolerant to everybody, they're the biggest haters that ever were. And if you ever try to witness to them, you'll see that. I mean, coming out their eyes and their mouth, man. They want to kill you. Why? Fill with malice. Unless you accept their iniquity. If you don't accept their iniquity, the malice comes out. Well now, wait a minute. If everybody doesn't accept, if God doesn't accept the way I want my life to work out, am I going to be filled with malice because it didn't work out my way and He didn't accept everything, my plans and my dreams? So I'm just going to be mad at God? And really when we get mad at each other, it's just a revelation that I'm angry at God. You know what ruins homes and ruins churches? I've watched it all my life. People are so filled with malice, they're so filled with hate, and they won't get rid of it. They just can't get over it. They can't purge out that malice, that leaven of malice and wickedness, and have a sincere heart before God. You know, malice, you're in 1 Corinthians, so look at chapter 14. It's sort of a characteristic of a child. You ever heard of, you ever seen kids throw temper tantrums? He said, yeah, I got one right here. You know, we expect kids to act like kids. I mean, you know, we ought to correct them. We ought to get them. But, you know, kids don't act like adults. Right? That's why we have a nursery. Well, that went over well, but that... I mean, we expect people to sit in church as an adult and hear the Bible, right? Well, look, so many times kids are out of control. You know why? They're kids. They're children. They're not adults. You know, you can't take your five-year-old and make an adult out of them. They're not an adult. Now, you can train them. And in time, they can be... But look, a child is a child. He's got problems. Amen. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 20, watch this now. Brethren, 1 Corinthians 14, 20 is what I'm reading. Brethren, be not children in understanding. You know, children, a young child, he doesn't know very much. You can tell a young child anything. They just don't get it, you know. Or maybe they're just so gullible, they'll believe anything. Yeah. And my daughter's older, but she's still that way. But so be careful what you tell her. She'll believe it. Amen. But he said, don't be a child in understanding. At some point in your life, you got to be an adult and know some things, right? Be not children in understanding. And at the end of the verse, he says, what was he saying at the end of that verse? But in understanding, be men. Grow up. Be an adult. There's some things you ought to know. But now watch this. I didn't read all the verse. 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. You never see the characteristic of a child more when they're playing together and then they get put out with each other and then they just go crazy. I mean, things start flying, amen, hair goes, and right? You got my toy and this is mine and I'm screaming and I'm yelling. Well, he's talking to the church about this. At some point in your life, you got to grow up. And I said, you know what makes a good church? When you have a bunch of people that aren't a bunch of babies. And thank God for the history of this church where people have grown up in the Lord and grown in their faith. And Peter's going to get to that from a baby. I mean, been on that Word of God and being nurtured by that Bible and growing up in the Lord. But we can always tell when somebody hadn't grown up by the way they start acting in anger and malice. It's very easy to find out who the children are in the church. It's just, What does it take to get you mad? Right? Get your feelings hurt. As far as I know, nobody's feelings hurt in here. I'm just preaching the next verse, Brother Gary. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? You know, that's true about all of us. You get on you and you got to get it off. You get put out with somebody and you got to get it off. Why? Because I don't want to be a child. But you know, even children do a little bit better than we do. I mean, they'll get... They'll have just knockdown drag out, and in 1 hour, they're back playing with the toys. Grown-up kids, amen, when they have knockdown drag outs, it's a tooth out of joint, right? It's harder to be one than a strong city. You can forget about it. They're going to carry that to the grave. Maybe it'd be better if we go back to the nursery. I mean, you ever seen a kid come back to the nursery and said, you got me last time, I'm going to get you this time. They don't have that long of a memory. Be good if I didn't have that long of a memory. Just forget about it. It'll help you. And you know what? If I don't lay that aside, it grieves the Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just on the first point. Man, we've got to get going. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, you know the text, and grieve not. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Watch it now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, put it away. Get rid of it. And the next verse is, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I can always tell when malice has creeped into my heart because I have a problem forgiving people. And I have a problem being kind to people. And I don't want to have the characteristics of a reprobate in my life. I don't want that. And I want to lay that aside. Well, the second thing. He said, go back to our text. He said, lay aside all malice. Don't grab part of it. Don't get rid of the malice you got toward one person and hold on to it for another one. Right? But get rid of all of it. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. And then he says, and all guile. I got to get rid of that guile. Well, what's guile? Look at the same chapter, verse 22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible tells us that Jesus, He didn't have any guile in His life. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Guile shouldn't be in my life. Jesus didn't have it in His life. And if I'm going to love my life, if I'm going to see good days, I've got to get rid of guile. Well, what's guile? Guile is, you've heard the word beguile, haven't you? When someone is beguiled, they are deceived. Guile is trickery. Guile is a wrong motive. Another angle why I approach something. Like the devil, when he approached Eve, he had another motive. And the Bible says, I'm not to have any guile. I'm to have pure and proper and clean motives in my life. No guile. And if I have any other motive in my life, I need to get rid of it. When Jesus saw Nathanael, He said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He wasn't trying to play a game. He wasn't trying to manipulate things for His benefit. No. He had no guile. And the very next word, I think, in our text is likened unto it. He said, laying aside all malice and all guile. Then He says, and hypocrisies. Hypocrisies. You know, people that talk about the hypocrites in the church. You know, that don't keep them from going to Walmart. There's hypocrites at Walmart. You know, there are hypocrites everywhere. You're a hypocrite sometimes. We all do things that are hypocritical. But the good thing is, the Bible says if we're born again, I can lay that aside. I can get that off of me. There's two ways to be a hypocrite. Can I show you that? Look at Matthew chapter 23 and Galatians chapter 2. There are two ways to be a hypocrite. And God says, okay, you're born again. Praise the Lord. That doesn't take care of your obligation to get rid of your hypocrisy. Your motive ought to be pure. Your heart ought to be right. And you ought to be genuine. Genuine. You ought to be the real deal. Hypocrisies. Look at Matthew 23, verse 27. Jesus says, Matthew 23:27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I remember Brother Farley preaching in our church in Virginia. Most famous message he preached. He preached, I think he hadn't been there but a couple of times. And he preaching on the old hypocrite. He started preaching on the hypocrite. And the more he preached on the hypocrite, somebody in the church was getting mad while he was preaching. And he said, oh, I spot you, old hypocrite. You're turning red back there. That's what he said. And then he just kept preaching. The guy just kept getting madder and madder and madder. He just preaching the Bible. And he just kept saying, oh, you old hypocrite. And he said, well, stay around. We like you to be around. We want to have something to laugh at. Stay around, you old hypocrite. He just kept preaching on those hypocrites. He said, I don't know why you're here. You're just coming in here and wearing out the upholstery, he said. That's what he preached. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. When I come to church, you know what? I want to hear from God. Amen. And if God hits me between the eyes, amen, I want to take it. I want to get it. I want to learn from it. I want to get help. I want to be a hypocrite. Why did I come to church? I came to church to get help from God. I came to church to learn from the Word of God. And Jesus looked at these Pharisees and said, you hypocrites? How are they hypocrites? He says, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You're a hypocrite when everything on the outside looks like it's great, but everything on the inside is wrong. You can put the countenance and the smile and the clothes and whatever, and the niceties and the pleasantries and the Bible in your hand, and inside you be so far away from God. So a hypocrite is somebody who tries to look like something that they're not. Does that make sense? Hypocrite. just trying to make everybody think that I'm spiritual, right with God, love the Lord. When inside, I've got serious problems in my heart. That's a hypocrite. But you know, there's another hypocrite in the Bible. Look at Galatians chapter 2. You know why this is so strange? Because the guy that said, lay aside all hypocrisies, you know what he, Peter, you know what he did? He played the hypocrite. I can see Peter's heart on that. Guys, y'all need to get rid of that because it'll hurt you. It hurt me. It hurt my life. And you know what? It didn't just hurt Peter's life when he was a hypocrite. It hurt somebody else around him. But Peter wasn't a hypocrite in the fact that he was trying to look pretty and be something he was not. It's the other way around. Galatians chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 11, Paul writes, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The word dissimulation is another synonym for hypocrisy. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, Peter, you're a hypocrite. Now, Peter, you're not trying to look like something you're not. It's the other way around. You're not trying to look like something you are. In other words, Peter knew it was okay to eat with Gentiles. He knew that was right. He knew that was proper. They're in God's family too. He knew that, hey, in Christ, Jew or Gentile, there's no difference. He's sitting down there eating with those Gentiles, amen. Maybe had a big pork sandwich there. I don't know. But I mean, hey man, I'm free in the Lord to do this. This is right, fellowship with these brethren. And when the Jews came, he got up from the table and he left. Because now I don't want to be associated with what I really am. You know what a hypocrite also is? A hypocrite is somebody that's been born again, but they're out there in the world and they don't want anybody to know they're born again. That's also a hypocrite. I heard a guy say one time, well, I'm not going to come to church and be a hypocrite because I know my life's not right. You know what I said? I said, you're a hypocrite now. I mean, if you're blood washed, born in the family of God, if Christ lives in you, just the very reason that you're not assembling with the brethren, you're a hypocrite because you're not associating with who you really are as a child of God. You're associating with all these things that a child of God is not. And you are ashamed to be identified with who you are. Whether I'm at school, whether I'm at work, I'm a hypocrite when I will not readily let people know who I really am. You understand? It's like a Christian trying to, you know, mix in with the people they work with, but not let them know that I'm a Bible-thumping, radical, King James separated, right? I just can't let everybody know that. That I go to a church where the preacher spits and hollers and screams. Can't let them know that, you know. You understand? When I try to smooth that over and just be one of the guys, I'm a hypocrite, not because I'm trying to appear what I'm not, because I'm not identifying with who I really am. And Peter said, you know, I know how that is. And when I was a hypocrite, it hurt Barnabas. It hurt Barnabas. He was carried away. I don't know the end of that story. I don't know how bad it hurt Barnabas. But he was a casualty because Peter wasn't genuine. And speaking of genuineness, when you look at our text, he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That Word of God that's sincere and true and open and just as it is, plain.
You know, as children of God, we ought to want that sincere milk of the Word, that sincere preaching, that sincere Bible, that sincere truth that I need for my life. I ought to hunger for it. I ought to want it. I want a real preacher. I want a real message. I want a real church service. I want a real Spirit-filled environment where God will deal with me. I want something sincere and right. Don't want to play church. That Bible says that the fool, the full soul, loatheth even a honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. All these empty souls in our society go to these churches that aren't filled with sincerity. I mean, they're just phony. Phony as a $3 bill, amen. There's no sincere preaching. There's no sincere moving of the Holy Ghost. There's just a little drummed up emotionalism or something or other. I tell you what. A child of God that's sincere in their heart ought to be able to spot that a mile off.
Yeah.
Amen. When they walk into a sincere place, wow, that's genuine. Yeah. That's real singing. Yeah. That's real heart. That's real truth. All this robot Christianity, God deliver us. And some of it is in conservative circles, you know. You know, march up all the kids. We're from here, such and so and so. And I just want to say that I love the Lord. And all that I have, I give to Him. And I hope this song's a blessing to you. Here's my song. I'm not saying don't do things orderly and organized and well. But amen, there ought to be some reality about what you're doing. It's not a show. It's not a... It's something real. I'm singing because I really love Jesus. I'm singing because what's in this song has touched my heart. And I'm doing this service because I got a heart for it. Not because I have to, not because I want to look good, and not surely because it's a performance. Church shouldn't be choreographed that way. I often wonder what it'd be like to step into a early church about 70 A.D. and feel how out of place we would feel. Where are the pews? There's a tree over there. But you know what? If you'd walked in there, it'd been so sincere, you'd say, man, my soul is about to get a drink from another world. Because I want something sincere and real. But you see, hypocrites don't want anything sincere and real. It scares them to death. Amen. They want to slide into church and slide out, you know, once a month. They don't want anything real. I want something real in my life. And God says, you get rid of that guile. And when that hypocrisy starts laying on you, and I tell you what, if you're one of these believers Peter writing to, you know, and somebody had just put your husband to death, and you got to put a smile on your face and be a Christian, that'd probably be pretty hard not to be a hypocrite about that. If you had to show the love of Jesus to a bunch of people that hated your guts like the day they lived, that'd probably be pretty hard not to be a hypocrite about that. And Peter says, just lay it aside. Well, there's another word in there. Number four, and envies. God says if you got envy in your heart, you need to lay it aside. Well, let's think about some words just a minute. I was trying to think about them today. To covet something means I want it, I desire it. To be jealous for something is more like I think I deserve it. That should be mine. But to be envious gets to the root of how angry I am about it that you've got it. The Bible said they delivered Jesus for envy. They wanted the respect that He had. They wanted the crowd that He had. They wanted the authority that He had. And they were so uncomfortable and so angry that He had the authority of God and they didn't have it. They envied him. It was deeper than jealousy. It was deeper than covetousness. And I tell you, when envy comes in our life, I looked in the dictionary what envy was, and it said it's an uneasiness. Listen to that. Listen now. An uneasiness or a discontent around someone with superior excellence. It's a discontent or an uneasiness when you get around somebody that's smarter than you or prettier than you or more talented than you, or has something better than you, and you just feel a little bit frustrated and upset about that. That's envy. Well, that creeps into the heart of everybody, man. And God said, you better get rid of that. Well, I don't know why I can't sing like them. I don't know why I can't look like her. I don't know why I can't have the wife he's got, or the husband she has, or the job they have. I don't know why my life hadn't worked out the way their life worked out. I don't know why people respect them and they don't respect me. I don't know why he gets to teach and I don't get to teach. I don't know why they get the position and I don't get the position. Not just jealousy, envy. You know what the Bible says about envy? It's a rottenness of the bones. It will rot out your soul. That's why that book says, hey, rejoice with those that rejoice. If somebody else has got more or better, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. More to you. Amen. You got a better marriage than me? Glory to God. I just keep praying for mine. Right? Instead of what I deserve or what I want or what I'm supposed to have. That's envy. The Bible says, who can stand before envy? Envy is what nailed Jesus to the cross. And I don't want that roaming around in my heart. Envy is what caused them to come after Paul, and they blasphemed and they contradicted and they spoke against him. Why? Because they were envious of him, Acts 13:45, Acts 17:5. They stood against the things of God because envy was in their heart. Envy made Cain knock his brother's brains out. His only brother. I mean, when there's just two of you. He didn't have anybody to play with afterwards. Being facetious there, but I mean, really. I mean, it's not like there were 10,000 people in the world. It's Cain and Abel. And you killed the only guy your age? Why? Because he had something superior than you. And his sacrifice was accepted before God, and you just couldn't take it. And his life was a blessing to God and yours wasn't, and you're just not going to take it. Korah had envy come up in his heart against Moses. He says, you know, you take too much on you. We're all holy. Why can't we be like you, Moses and Aaron? We're just as godly as you are. You don't deserve that position. I deserve that position. And God says, I'll show you the position you deserve. You deserve one in hell. Open up the earth and swallows you. There's where envy goes. It goes to hell. Saul, envious of David. David saved his hide. David delivered the kingdom. David was a man after God's own heart. David sat down and played beautiful music and soothed his soul. David was the best son-in-law he ever had. But he wanted to kill him. You know why? Because envy got down in his heart. And said, why aren't they singing my praises like they're singing his praises? The Bible says Joseph's brethren delivered him for envy. Dad likes him more. And look at his coat of many colors in the revelations he gets from God destroyed him. The Bible says, guys, we need to get that out of our hearts. Lay it aside. Because it's carnality. That's what 1 Corinthians 3 says. He says, you're carnal. Where comes that envy and strife from? He says, you're carnal. It comes from your flesh. That's not thoughts about God. That's not thoughts in the Spirit of God. That's not wanting to be close to God. That comes from the flesh. The flesh wants to be exalted. The flesh wants what it wants.
The devil had envy over God. He wanted and thought he deserved what God had, and he sent it up before the Most High. It's just, envy is forbidden, and it has no place. And if we are people of charity, as that previous verse says, that love of the brethren with a pure heart fervently, charity envieth not. I cannot envy someone that love brings me to action in their lives toward them. I can't do that. It shows a heart problem. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. What is evil speaking? A whole lot more than cursing. By the way, I think we'll have to answer to God for all the evil stuff we hear through our ears that we watch on the TV and all that mess. I really do. Evil speaking. You know, you better hope that one day you don't lose your mind and all that stuff you put in your brain comes out your mouth. Amen. We can keep that under control. But what if one day you're sitting somewhere and you don't have your faculties anymore? Wouldn't it be good if that stuff never got in your brain? Evil speaking. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Well, that's a lot more than cursing and all that. How about just gossip? How about just, you know, don't speak evil of any man, as we read a moment ago. How about no backbiting or no murmuring? I don't want to be like the church in the wilderness. You know what destroyed them? They just had evil speaking. They just complained about everything. Yeah. So that's terrible. Yeah, well, you weren't walking for 40 years in the wilderness with the same pair of shoes. God have mercy. Some people couldn't live the Christian life if they only had one pair of shoes. Right? I don't know why I have to just have one pair of shoes all my life. I mean, I was 18 years old. Now I'm 45. Why do I still have the same pair of shoes? Their shoes never wore out, church.
That's right.
Amen. They never wore out. And they couldn't go to Payless and get any more. Can you imagine the kids? Well, I want some more tennis shoes. Well, you got one pair God gave you, and that's it. When those wear out, we'll get you another pair. I don't know why I have to wear these all the time. Same color. Right? Murmuring, complaining. And we're worse than they are because we got 50 pair of shoes. I don't know why we have to just eat this manna. Well, thank God you got something to put in your belly.
Amen.
I don't know why we just have to have baked potatoes and salad. What's wrong with a preacher?
Preach on.
Did that hit a nerve? You see how easy we are to do that? And somebody said, praise God, we got a fellowship hall. Glory to God, we get to eat. Somebody's going to have a pig. Somebody's going to have a chicken. Somebody's going to have a beef. And there may be some Mr. Meat and potatoes and salad dessert. Woo! Somebody said, I don't know why we just have to have those things. Right? Now, I know this is a perfect church. That will never happen. I'm just telling you how our hearts are. And here the children of Israel walking around the wilderness, and it's manna, and then it's manna, and then it's manna. Right? Every single day. It's manna. But it's from God. It's from heaven. It's good enough for the angels. It's good enough for you. And pretty soon they say, you know, I'm tired of this. Well, I got to be honest, guys. I don't know how spiritual I'd be eating something the same every day for. I like to eat. And I don't like to get bored eating. That's why we got a pig and a cow and a chicken and a question, right? And they're complaining about what God gave them to eat. And God says, I'm not sick of that. We want flesh. I bet you do. I'll give you so much it'll come out your nose. And that's exactly what happened. I bet when it's coming out your nose, you don't want it too much anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It ever come out your nose? You'll never eat it the same way again if it comes out your nose. They probably complained about that, didn't they? Don't have enough to drink. It's hot out here. Church is hot. Church is cold. Don't like this. Don't like that. God says, look, you're born again, and I know that gets on you. Why don't you lay that aside and just be happy you're saved? You got so much more than you deserve anyway. You deserve to be in hell where you're a back broke man. You don't deserve any of the goodness of God. I don't deserve any of the goodness of God. And I don't want to be like the children of Israel walking around my life just complaining about every stinking thing in my life. That's not the Christian life. That's in the heart of people that are reprobates, that are unthankful. Didn't that start it all in Romans 1? Neither were thankful. Evil speaking. Just got a hard life. These people in Peter, now they had a hard life. You know what Peter said? Don't talk about it. Talk about God. Don't complain about it. Think about the Lord. Don't let it go to seed in your heart. Just go down and lay it aside so that your new birth can actually be a blessing in your life.